We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NFL draft only 9 days away. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff has been keeping his ear to the ground on all the latest draft rumors.
Oh, give me a draft rumor and I will drop everything to hear it.
We know.
The more rumory, the better.
What do you got for us today?
Okay, so this actually isn't a rumor. This is a report from Adam Schefter, ESPN. Yesterday, put out that Michigan QB J.J. McCarthy's final pre-draft visit comes Tuesday and Wednesday, a two-day, an overnighter, when he's scheduled to meet with the Commanders. So McCarthy has visited the Commanders, or will have visited the Commanders, the Patriots, and the Giants. So the Commanders at 2, the Patriots at 3, and the Giants at 6, while also conducting private workouts for the Vikings, 11, Broncos, 12, and Giants. So I know.
So half the league.
Most
of the first round.
Most in the top 10.
Yeah.
So it feels like there's some momentum. Then our good buddy, NFL Network's Peter Schrager, just put out a mock draft, and he had J.J. McCarthy going to the Giants, and not just going to the Giants trading up to 4 with Arizona to take J.J. McCarthy. So the steam for J.J. McCarthy, is the Michigan quarterback, is growing and growing and growing. He seems to be the fastest riser of this draft period and could easily go in the top 4 picks.
Yeah, this has been the riser, as you said, of the process because of the championship in Michigan, because how his coach Jim Harbaugh has been saying he's the best quarterback in this draft, he's the best quarterback Michigan ever had, or whatever Jim Harbaugh was saying about McCarthy. And I think it's hard. I think his evaluation, like I've read this before from Dane Brugler, who does The Athletic, he does the... It feels incomplete. It feels almost impossible to really project for J.J. McCarthy because we saw Michigan asked so little of him to win ball games for them.
Right.
And so how do you really have like this full accurate analysis? I know the draft is a bit of a projection.
Well,
but again, like this feels more incomplete than most.
But that's the NBA and the NFL. They like the unknown so much more than the known. They like the 20-year-old who they haven't seen do anything yet. They're like, ooh, I could coach that guy up. So that you say that is a negative. For some people in the NFL, it's a positive as well.
So let's hear from Tiki Barber, who all-time leading rusher for the New York Giants, now hosting the afternoon show on WFAN. He said, let's hear cut 10 first, Pete. He says the J.J. McCarthy hype he thinks is actually a smokescreen.
The J.J. McCarthy thing, to me, is a smokescreen, right? He's getting inflated because Jim Harbaugh won't stop talking about him. And now all of a sudden, he's a top four quarterback? I don't buy it.
If he's at 6.
He's just fallen.
If he's at 6, you don't want him.
I'm just saying, it's not happening.
You don't want him.
I don't want him.
Okay, then he said he's tired of all this J.J. McCarthy hype because the guy didn't play in an NFL offense.
J.J. McCarthy thing?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of hearing it. Stop. Stop with the J.J. McCarthy thing. I'm tired. Like, he's not, his film doesn't say he's a first-round quarterback. His film doesn't say, I need to get rid of all my assets and go draft this guy. Because a lot of what he does doesn't translate. The scheme that he ran at Michigan, and maybe this is just an indictment on the scheme and not necessarily on him, but it didn't highlight the things that you need to do. Second, third level reads and multiple combo routes that you have to get correct. He didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, and he's not the only person. Brian Baldinger is another draft analyst who does a lot of film work, also is not very high on J.J. McCarthy and not really understanding why you would go to these lengths to take somebody like him. And let's be honest, it's kind of setting up, if Peter is right, Peter Schrager, who has the Giants moving up to get J.J. McCarthy, and Peter's pretty locked in with the Giants, it could be like a bit of a bidding war between the Vikings and the New York Giants. I mean, this could be the best, one of the best things that ever happened to the Arizona Cardinals is that they get now, they're the lucky beneficiary of two teams who are fighting it out for this quarterback.
Right. Well, there's so many forces at play here. Or is Tiki right where this is a smokescreen where somebody is putting out false information?
It's possible.
And that maybe the Vikings and Giants aren't as eager to get up to number four as we think. And by the way, the Broncos, I think you can also include in that conversation. They seem to have, they've worked out J.J. McCarthy, and they could trade up from 12 to 4 as well.
So there's like, I think, yes, it's lying season. This could all be a smokescreen. The Giants could be using Peter Schrager to try to get something. Who knows what it is? I'm not saying Peter's information is wrong. I'm just saying teams lie to people all the time. The question is the desperation level for the two teams you just mentioned. I guess three teams. The Giants, the Vikings, and the Broncos. These, I think, are the three questions you have to ask yourself. I think the Giants should be extremely desperate to get a quarterback.
But they have a quarterback.
Yeah, but Daniel Jones has had major injury stuff. Like, people like to talk about Daniel Jones and, oh, you know, can he be a great starter in this league and how much he got paid last year? The dude's had major, like, spine injuries and knee. That's the part of it for the Giants. You're not even sure if this guy can complete a season.
Yeah, but you signed him to that two-year, $80 million deal knowing all this. So you obviously at a certain point thought he was worth it.
It was a huge mistake, and I think they would admit that now. And so
I don't know. The Giants are not an admit mistake team.
Fair. I mean, they've made some missteps.
But the other two teams you mentioned, the Vikings have Sam Darnold, and the Broncos have Jared Stidham. I think the Giants are basically much better shape of quarterback. Those other two teams have to find a quarterback, right?
Agree. I think there is desperation for all three. I think the Giants are also fall in that category.
Okay, so that's an interesting take. But I actually think that there seems to be signs that maybe the Broncos are just going to run it with Jared Stidham, and maybe the Vikings are just going to run it with Sam Darnold.
That's not true. The Vikings, no. Why would they get that extra first-round pick?
Well, actually, because it came out when the Texans traded for Stephon Diggs that it was the Texans who called the Vikings. It wasn't the Vikings didn't go get that first round pick. Someone made them this offer, which a trade, by the way, that didn't even seem fair. It seemed like the Vikings were getting way more value. So the Texans wanted an extra second round pick they could use in the Diggs trade. So maybe that wasn't the Vikings doing anything. And they need a lot of players. I mean, you could make an argument, hey, this is not a great situation. They have a lot of holes that they could use the 11 and 23.
Yeah, but you're
pick.
Not going to be competitive in the division if Sam Darnold's your quarterback. I'm sorry. I don't care who his coach is.
Are you going to be competitive with J.J. McCarthy? They might be wondering that.
Well, maybe not, but at least you have a plan. Like, if you're the Vikings and you go into the season with Sam Darnold and we'll figure it out next year, you're getting fired if you don't compete.
You think J.J. McCarthy buys you some time. But
absolutely.
But yeah, to be honest, what Tiki said is not exactly a hot take in the sense that we all kind of think that. We all watch Michigan play, and we all saw J.J. McCarthy not throw passes. So it is this weird cognitive dissonance about this guy. So I don't think the Vikings really need J.J. McCarthy. That's a question I keep coming back to.
Well, they need somebody.
Well, they obviously, you know, listen, everyone's making a big deal now. They have Josh McCown in the building, and he coached Drake May. Can they get into the top three? That's the other thing. Are any of these teams getting into the top three with Jaden Daniels or Drake May?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Well, I don't know. We're talking about, obviously, the 2024 NFL draft, which is in 9 days, and the quarterbacks at the top. Perloff read us the report that J.J. McCarthy is going to the Commanders, and he's going to spend 2 days there, you said?
Yeah, that's how the Commanders do all their – they've done all the top prospects 2 days. It's not anything significant.
Yeah, they want to see what he looks like in the morning. Anyway.
Yeah, it's weird. They take him to dinner the night before.
Take him to dinner. The lighting's good, and then let's see what he looks like without any makeup on. So I think I think that if I am not only the Bears as a given with Caleb, and then you have the Commanders, and then you have the New England Patriots – I just don't understand why either of those teams would trade out of this pick.
The Patriots.
Why would they trade out of this pick?
Well, there's a lot of people talking about the fact that they bring in a rookie quarterback. That quarterback is doomed for failure because they don't have receivers. Their line is a little shaky right now. Their defense feels like they're one Matthew Judon injury away from trouble.
Yep.
There's nothing around them. So it'd be a lot like Bryce Young in Carolina. That's been the consistent argument. And I get it. Like, why bring in Drake May, who's supposedly a developmental quarterback anyway, and have him throw to nobody? This feels like he's going to have to run for his life there.
Oh, no, but I like it because if you admit the guy's developmental, then he might actually get some time if you're on a team with zero expectations. And you're going to go through growing pains. What I don't understand for the Patriots is, and you've talked about this a lot, this quarterback class is supposed to be much better than next year's. Now, listen,
I agree.
You can always have Joe Burrow emerge and you'll, you know, whatever. the draft classes can change, but if you're the Patriots, so you really want to go with the number one overall pick for next year and really lose that much, I don't see him doing that.
I absolutely agree with that analysis. Yes, this is the year to take him. But you have a 5-year. It's not like you. It's good to have time, but you have 5 years, maybe 4 years, to win with this rookie quarterback. You need a guy. That's why I like these old guys more than the NFL apparently does. Bo Nix and Michael Penix. They're going to give you a lot of value in those first 4 years. I just don't know what you're getting out of Drake May in New England. It feels kind of like a bad situation.
No, I got to be honest. I'm not really with the crowd on this draft.
How so?
I get that it's probably going to be better than next year or whatever, but I don't know. Maybe it's just the cynic in me, but I'm seeing flaws with either a lot of these guys or with the places they might go. And besides Caleb Williams, who I think is going to have a very good career, I'm really struggling here with Jaden Daniels, with Drake May, with Bo Nix, and with Michael Penix to really look at any of these guys and think, man, this is going to be the next awesome crop of quarterbacks in the NFL.
What are you not seeing? Those guys were all amazing in college, except for J.J. McCarthy.
Well, and he won a title. Right. And like he has the winning sort of pedigree, and that people say he's this great leader and all of that. But, you know, can he make the reads? And is he going to be able to, like, operate at the NFL level when we haven't seen, you know, all of this great, any of this really experience, not experience, no, but any of this body of work? You know, is Jaden Daniels going to be able to throw over the middle? Is Drake May actually going to be able to put this all together? And is Bo Nix, is he just better because he was older than everybody all of a sudden and switched to a different program in Oregon and became good when he was playing against 19-year-olds at 23? And is Michael Penix going to stay healthy? Like, I can just poke holes in all of these guys.
Wait, what's your hole on Jaden Daniels throwing over the middle?
Yeah.
He's
the middle of the field.
He's the most efficient passer in college football history. He barely missed a pass. But what throw did he not make? It was just completion, touchdown, run 40 yards. He was unbelievable.
It's the fact that he had some of the best wide receivers in college and two guys who are going to be going in the first round as wide receivers.
Yeah, but Joe Burrow had the same thing.
Okay, but Joe was better over the middle. Like, this is what the scouts are telling us. I got to pay attention to what the film says, too, which is Jaden Daniels is good on deep balls, but the intermediate stuff isn't there.
He completed like 80% of his passes. There's no drops to point to. And honestly, I understand about the receivers, but I wonder, too, if maybe you're not giving enough credit to Jaden Daniels in that formula as well. It could be chicken or the egg.
Yep.
I mean, Jaden Daniels right there. I mean, all year long, every LSU game, they put up a graphic. Jaden Daniels was a little bit ahead statistically of Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow probably had the greatest college football season ever. Mm-hmm. Fair. I mean, it was an incredible team. Jaden Daniels matched him every stat for stat. He was just as good as Burrow.
Okay, and Burrow has had some health issues, right? And he's even a guy who's not like a huge runner.
That is who I will give
you. Jaden Daniels, who likes to use his legs. And a lot of times I like that about quarterbacks, but it does expose you to risk. And Jaden Daniels is not like he's a tall guy, but he's not a big guy. He's not Josh Allen, like a linebacker body playing quarterback.
Yeah, but this is 2024. We already saw teams pass on Lamar Jackson for that very reason, and they all regret it. You don't think about that anymore. You can't talk about running being an injury risk in today's game. Also, Jaden is a superior runner.
He's a great athlete. He's amazing.
They were saying during the pro day that he's faster than neighbors. I can't believe that's true. He didn't run a 40. That he might be in the 4.3s. He is insane. So he's a very unique skill set. I do not see a guy like that next year. Shedeur Sanders is going to probably be the number one quarterback. He's turning 23. He's as old as Bo Nix.
Yeah, and let's see what shape Shador's in after. Offensive line gets a lot better. He got really hit a lot last year.
I do agree. This is the year. You look at Quinn Ewers next year and Carson Beck. This is the year. Drake May, I've been sort of critical of, but the dude's a stud. I think there'll be four Pro Bowlers in this class. I want to do another long-term bet. This is going to be an all-time class. It is definitely going to be, by the way, all-time class, and you never had 1, 2, 3, 4 quarterback. It could be a record-setting draft for quarterbacks.
Yeah, and the last time we did 1, 2, 3, how's that going so far? It was Trevor Lawrence, good. It was Zach Wilson,
bad.
And Trey Lance.
Yeah, but these guys are so far.
Just because they go 1, 2, 3, 4 doesn't mean that it's automatically awesome.
Oh, my God, these guys are so much more accomplished than that group. I mean, night and day. These guys have done so much more, put so much more on tape than particularly Zach Wilson and Trey Lance.
855-212-4227. All right. Your thoughts on the NFL draft. You are welcome to weigh in. And J.J. McCarthy, should teams be really falling and tripping over each other to try to trade up to get J.J. McCarthy? I think that's a mistake. Maggie and Perloff, Infinity Sports Network. I caught it. Thank you. Professional broadcaster over here, guys. Fear not. Coming up, we do have Nick Saban. We check in on what the former Alabama football coach is up to. This is riveting stuff. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff show. Okay, this is not on the rundown.
Yeah.
But the Saturday Live from this week is getting a lot of attention because Ryan Gosling was on there.
Yeah.
There was two skits that stood out. There were three skits. Caitlin Clark was on and making fun of the host, Michael Che, for being anti-WNBA. That was funny. Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt did a song at the beginning about how Ryan can't stop being Ken from Barbie.
Okay.
Hysterical. But then there was this Beavis and Butthead skit that was really, really funny. But the characters kept breaking into laughter like the whole time.
Yeah, like what Jimmy Fallon used to do all the time.
So
I don't like it.
They were going full Jimmy. Yeah, okay, so you don't like the breaking into laughter. This woman, I thought, almost, it was a hysterical sketch. There were these two guys sitting in the crowd of a sort of a NPR-style Q&A, and they looked exactly like Beavis and Butthead, and they were unaware that they looked like Beavis and Butthead.
Wait, hold on, Pearl. If you're saying that woman, Heidi Gardner, you and I met her.
What?
Do you not remember us meeting her from SNL?
I've never met Heidi Gardner.
You have. We went to the premiere of the movie Air. I remember Ben Affleck and Matt Damon were there and Viola Davis.
Yes.
And we got to do this really cool thing. We got to see that movie at a movie theater for press. And they were all there. And Heidi Gardner was there. And we talked to her about how she was a Chiefs fan. Dan Patrick was there. You don't remember this?
I remember Dan. I never talked to Heidi. You might have talked to her. I wasn't with you.
No, you were definitely standing right there. Remember we talked to Hannah Storm? Jeez, I'm just name dropping people all over the place.
She was on Saturday Live at the time.
This was a year ago.
So she was in the cast of SNL and we talked to her?
Yes.
I didn't talk to her. You talked to her.
In my recollection, you were there.
I remember that Adam Schefter and Keegan-Michael Key were on a double date,
yes.
And that was wild.
That was very fun.
I was like, they are friends? That struck me. But I would have remembered talking to an SNL cast member.
I'm telling you, we did.
I did not talk to her.
We
did
talked
you get
about
a picture?
The Chiefs. I didn't ask her for a picture, because now it's like, hey, we're both here. We're chit-chatting. Couldn't ask her for a photo.
I had a five-minute conversation with Dan Hicks about how many times he's been confused with Dan Patrick over the years. And Hannah said the same thing, that many people think she's married to Dan Patrick. She is not. They were lovely, but not this Heidi Gardner. Anyway, but that was a funny sketch. So you don't like the break into laughter. You're saying keep it together?
I think so. I mean, it's been funny in the past, but they couldn't hold it together to do the sketch. But
I
wants to weigh in.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys mentioned this while I was walking in. I read that she did not see them
before
in makeup until that moment.
But
on
they
purpose.
Do a driver. Oh, just
they hid the makeup from her so her reaction would be natural and live, and that's why she broke, because she looked
it's
hilarious. Yeah.
But the sketch would have been funny on its own. I thought it took away 3%.
I didn't mind it, because I watched it after I read the story that they did that to her on purpose, so it didn't bother me.
Actually,
but Fallon was the worst.
Did you watch a lot of Beavis and Butthead?
No. Knew they existed, but like I couldn't make a reference other than like the weird laugh. That's all I got.
How'd you miss it?
Beavis and Butthead, what?
You're right in that wheelhouse.
For
anyone
a long
else?
Time, I didn't have cable, and it was on MTV.
Are you Amish?
No.
You grew up without cable?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
Like in a shack? In the woods?
No.
What's going on?
Are you Amish?
It's a crazy story. In Queens, where I lived in Queens, for whatever reason, they could not put poles like in the sidewalk to run the cable wire, so the only option was to run the cables on the back of our connected brick houses.
Okay.
And some of my neighbors would not let them do it. So until DirecTV was a thing, I didn't have cable.
You poor deprived child.
Yeah.
How'd you get through without MTV?
I made it to like 13 without it.
I had a friend whose parents wouldn't let her watch MTV, and this is like a parenting thing I think about a lot. Parents would not let her watch MTV all through high school. So the moment she got to college, she just started binging the MTV. We wouldn't see her for days sometimes. Like, do you realize this? The show called The Real World's been on since we were like 10. But this is a parenting thing. Like, you want to deprive your kids of something, and I think you're trying to do the right thing by them. But all it does is lead to them you know, you fetishize it. Like, I remember kids who couldn't have sugary cereal. And yeah, I get totally. It. But then they'd come to my house and they would just totally binge on Lucky Charms like it was crack.
Right. That's the alcohol theory. In Europe, you start drinking when you're 12 and it's no big deal by the time you're 18. When you get to be 18 in America and drink, you're like, let's get blackout every night.
Yeah, everyone's binge drinking.
So, you keep it away. But that being said, by the way, Beavis and Butthead, you missed out. That was the greatest show. For me, by the way, I think it hit me even more than anyone, even though I was in probably my, what year was it?
Like, you were in your 30s.
No, it's 90, it was 93. Yeah, like all the songs they would play are like my favorite songs. Like those are like my big song. Like it would be Pavement and Ween, and they were totally. Mike Judge is a genius. I mean, he is one of the smartest human beings ever. So I'm totally down with it. But and I think everyone thinks it was a dumb show because they laugh like that. It wasn't. It was super clever.
Yeah, it was a phenomenon. That's for sure.
Wait, so did you miss Beavis and Butthead?
No. I got it. But I was pretty young, so I didn't get a lot of the references.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I remember going to see the movie in theaters, and it was pretty cool. Bogus, you have headlines, yes?
I do, and while we wait on the TV ratings of last night's WNBA draft, the Caitlin Clark effect being felt at Fanatics, the company says almost every size of Clark's Indiana Fever jersey has already sold out.
That's such a funny way to put it.
Right. Well, what I don't understand is, the normal size is like extra small through large are gone. There's a couple on the bigger end of the spectrum that are still out there, but I don't understand why they're sold out. Like, you're going to make more. Just tell me I've got to wait now 3 weeks, not 4 days to get it.
Right.
Take my money now and I'll be patient. Saying it's sold out is like, you're SOL. We're not getting any more.
Right.
Like, you gotta be
and
quicker.
Never printing them again.
Right.
It's a publicity thing, but I just think it's funny. Every size, like they're trying to make a point that it's not just young girls who are buying this,
I guess, or that they only had two of each prepared, ready to go. I don't get it.
It's like, so all the triple XL, you know, people walking around with a Caitlin. It's just such an odd way to put it.
If you're husky, you still got a chance at a Caitlin Clark jersey. The intrigue last night in Brooklyn began with the second pick. That's when the LA Sparks took the impossibly tall Cameron Brink from Stanford. South Carolina forward Camilla Cardoso went third to the Chicago Sky, who also took Angel Reese at number 7. Play-in basketball starts this evening with the Pelicans hosting the Lakers, with the winner facing the Nuggets in round 1. Then the Kings host the Warriors, with the loser going home. Draymond Green said on the Draymond Green podcast he hates the play-in, but
when you look at the play-in and what it's done for basketball, it's the best thing ever created. I don't know who came up with it. I know Bron said they need to be fired. If they were fired when Bron said that, they need to get their job back because the play-in is insane.
I think it was Adam Silver. I mean, so he gets the credit for it, right?
Someone
in the office.
And I was with LeBron at the beginning, and maybe this will flip, and maybe more than not, we'll get too many Bulls-Hawks games. But it is certainly worth, whoever this is, year 3, year 4, they basically are batting 1,000 in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we all want, man, if they mixed up the East and the West, then the NBA playoffs would be so amazing. They can never do that, right?
Just 1 through 16?
Yeah, if they just did 1 through 16, it'd be so great.
That's the final
Infinity Stone on the gauntlet of the NBA.
I mean, this in-season tournament is pretty radical. Why not do that? I guess the travel would be ridiculous.
The players would complain about the travel. I don't think it's that. I think that is not as extreme as I think the Players Union will say when the NBA tries to push that at some point.
No, I think they just want something in return. And they would be smart to use it as a bargaining chip. It's like, all right, you want us to do more travel, then we want more revenue, or we want better something. Like, don't take it off the table, but use it to get something the players want.
Don't you think, though, that the owners might have the biggest objection? Because then, isn't it harder to make it? Like, right now in the East, there are owners who would miss out on playoff games because they weren't in the West.
I would not do it the top 16 teams in terms of overall standings. I would have still 8 from the East and 8 from the West.
And then line them up?
Yes, kind of like you would like a March Madness where, you know, you have some automatic qualifiers. Exactly. Like, you have eight automatic qualifiers from both conferences. You have 6 that made it through like we normally do. Then you have the same playing games you have now. And then after that, we mix them all up. That's how I would do it. Now, the NBA Plus is pretty great. I don't know if it needs much radical change, and this small tweak of the plan has actually somehow made it better, which is awesome, but that's the last bit of it.
Ooh, we'd get it. I'm looking at the standings. We'd get Heat Celtics first round and Lakers Thunder first round. If you did top 16 teams, I guess it's not really that big a deal. Like, it really, why is the NBA in a place where the 10 seed is a title threat right now?
That but only mean, the West. Are they really a title threat, though, is the question.
Well,
I don't.
The Warriors.
Yes, Karloff.
I mean, are the Warriors a title threat? They're certainly not your typical 10 seed.
No. I mean, on odds, they're pretty low still, though. They're sitting around with the Pelicans and Pacers.
Right, but this year kind of feels like a one-off that there's so much parity, right? I hope. I don't know.
I mean, last year the Lakers were in the play-in and they went to the conference finals.
And the Heat.
And they went to the finals. Right, and they almost didn't make the playoffs. They lost the first game and should have lost the second game.
Yeah.
Bogus, what else we got?
Far from all of that, the Nets have reportedly landed on Kings assistant Jordy Fernandez as their next head coach. Now, I worked two Nets games this season, just weeks apart. Jacques Vaughn was the coach for one of them, Kevin Ollie for the other. And now they're moving on to Jordy Fernandez.
Oh, imagine if you get more fill-in dates, you could basically fill out half of the NBA assistant coaches.
I mean,
cycle through.
If I get one next year, it'll be three coaches in three games.
Wow.
With Jordy.
Who's on that?
The game notes.
What's the game plan there to build up that roster, by the way?
Oh,
it's only a four-hour show.
Yeah. I mean, probably if you to follow up on our Astros deep dive, probably trading Nick Claxton for something would be their first thing.
Honestly, we are treating Bogush like he is a beat reporter for every single professional team.
Well, it's funny. Like,
regardless of sport.
I have a better Nets answer, though, than the Astros one.
We were talking about the Vikings earlier, and we were like, man, if they don't have some kind of plan at quarterback, like Brooklyn Nets are a team with zero chance of being good in the next 5 years. Zero.
I just wonder how Sean Marks is able to appoint another coach.
That is incredible to me.
Yeah.
It's just a lost franchise.
Are they trying to sell it? Is that possible? Do you think Josai wants to get out of the NBA or no?
No, I think the problem is Josai likes being an owner, but doesn't, like, there's a lot of cost-cutting complaints about Net fans that, like, he's not all the way into being an owner. And he has said certain things that have rubbed fans the wrong way. Like, he's just almost happy to be there. Not necessarily going all in on, like, he said something like, I'd rather have like a nice team than a good, like, something about weird things about, like,
honestly,
roster
best,
construction.
The best shot he's got is with the Liberty.
That's why I think he'll hang around a little bit, because the Liberty, I think, will they're definitely being title contention. I think they'll probably win the title in the next few years. So hang around for that, and then maybe then you bow out. I don't understand why they're asking for 100 draft picks for Mikal Bridges, who very obviously wants to be a New York Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, the guy is like, he's on the Jalen Brunson podcast more than Jalen Brunson. I'm like, how many times are you going to be hanging out with these Villanova guys? Like, you're on the other team.
Yeah.
And they did play college basketball together.
I know, but it's. I mean, if I was a Net fan, I would feel a little away about how Mikal Bridges has acted since these guys clicked up.
Well, right, good thing there are no Nets fans.
I was going to say, and that concludes our Nets coverage until Bogus calls another game.
Here's the thing about the NBA. It seems like to me, like, you could talk about GMs in the NBA, that it might be the easiest job. Basically, you wait around and hope you're in a draft where LeBron or Wemby is there. Like, there's no, like, you can't build a champion.
I mean,
like,
you need a Wemby. Troy Weaver, the Pistons, somehow still kept his job yesterday.
I don't know.
Not know how that happened.
But if he, you know, these guys win the lot, it just seems like there's so much luck. And the Nets, just, there's no guy, there's no Wemby, there's no star ever coming here.
I think they do think that they have a chance at Donovan Mitchell.
So what?
He's not going there.
Well, maybe.
Not staying in Cleveland.
But he's not there.
He does
no,
like,
chance.
Is not a statement that any of us can make.
I can make that statement.
You could be wrong about it.
Why is he going to go there?
Because they're going to pay him a lot of money.
Okay, just stand
and he's gonna
around.
And he's going to be New York adjacent. He wants to live here. He wants to go to Met games with us, Pete.
There were cost-cutting measures going on around him. Yeah, that's where I want to sign.
No, he's
going to
play with Noah Clowney.
Oh, come on.
And Cam Thomas. You don't even know who Noah Clowney is.
Wait, you made that person up.
Who? Javion Clowney?
How about the LeBron?
Javion Clowney.
Is the LeBron Bronny show? Didn't Jay-Z recruit LeBron at one point? How about you bring the Bronnies to Brooklyn?
The Bronnies?
What do you call the LeBron Bronny combo?
Do they have a nickname?
No, we need one. Father and son?
How about you get LeVar Ball? LeVar Ball.
So we talk about potential multiverses of Maggie and Perloff. There's got to have to be one about what happens if Kevin Durant's foot isn't on that line, or if, you know, Kyrie doesn't break his ankle in the playoffs, because the Nets story might be very different. I'd be real, and I hate the Nets.
Yeah. I got to be honest. We just talked about the Nets more in this 5 minutes than 4 years I was on radio in New York City. What else we got?
The college football transfer portal is back open today. Texas A&M safety Jacoby Matthews among the first to jump in. That makes 19 scholarship Aggies to hit the portal since November. Meanwhile, the post-Nick Saban makeover continues at Alabama. At some point, there will be actual football. Without him, he'll just be home watching, and he's worried.
My biggest concern is being with my head coach, Miss Terry. I've never, ever had to watch a game with her, so I'm a little concerned.
You call your wife your head coach. A do or a don't. I'll answer. A don't.
I need a break from this. I'm sure they're sweet, but like between the I sent him to the pharmacy for the first time. He just wrote his first email. Now I'm worried you're going to elbow me on the couch watching football. I need a break. I need a Miss Terry break.
There's another cut in there where he talks about, do you have this one where he talks about the chores that he does every day?
I don't think not in front of me. Maybe Pete
can we
has
have,
that quicker than me.
I think it's cut 15. Can I have that?
The day after I retired, I got the 12 commandments of retirement. So I've tried to live by them, but I found out that if I do my chores, then I can go play golf. So I get up early and get my chores done, and then it's like, now do I have a free pass to go do what I want to do?
Miss Terry's a tyrant.
Wait, can I get more? This is the chores that she gives Nick Saban. Pete, can I have cut 16, please, sir?
I make my bed.
Okay, good.
I take the garbage out.
Wow.
I have to wait for her to eat together. And I have to leave a little food just because that's polite to tell people that you really thought it was good.
Yeah.
Which I grew up cleaning my plate, so that's not Me kosher too. Anymore. So.
Okay, couple things here. Number one, I make my bed, I take the garbage out. He's 72. I mean, are we really giving him pats on the back for doing this very normal stuff?
Wow.
And do we parse every word? He makes my bed? Does he not have... Do they not share a bed? When you say I make our bed?
I don't want to go there. And then the other thing is, so he gets a wow because he takes out the garbage. Wow. And then the other part is you're not supposed to clean your plate anymore because that's impolite. I've never heard that before.
Wow.
Wow. You make your bed? Wow. Take out the garbage? Whoa.
Wow.
Ooh. Is this Terry. A thing? I thought I was pretty good on etiquette, especially anything that has to do with food, because I grew up in the restaurant business. I didn't realize that you're supposed to leave a little bit on your plate.
That's news to me.
I never heard that.
That ain't happening here.
Never heard of it.
Wow. One last mention of the retiring John Sterling, the legendary radio voice of the Yankees. This is likely now his final home run call.
And the pitch hit in the air to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Non dimenticare. That ball sure traveled far. Giancarlo, he hits a grand slam deep in the left field seats.
Sterling's abrupt announcement came yesterday afternoon. He was not scheduled to work last night's game in Toronto to begin with. The Yankees lost it 3-1 for their first back-to-back defeats of this young season. And with one game left in the NHL season, the last playoff spot in the Eastern Conference is still up for grabs.
Now to Brinkett, over the blue line to Dylan Larkin. Now to Raymond. He
shoots. He scores! Oh, my goodness! Lucas Raymond wins the game for Detroit in overtime! Final score, Red Wings 5, Montreal 4, and Lucas Raymond has done it again.
Wow.
That's Ken Cal on Red Wings Radio.
Could you turn that down?
All the
details. It really is annoying.
Of that 5-4 win over Montreal keeps Detroit alive, but not in the postseason just yet. The Capitals control the last wild card spot. They beat the Bruins last night 2-0. If they win their final game, they're in no matter what. The Red Wings and the Penguins could still catch them with help and wins themselves. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, you're getting some love in the chat. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, where people are also sharing how they didn't have cable but were able to watch certain things.
Okay.
A lot of DVD burners and a lot of bootleg CD chatter. So did you do any of that to try to get back?
Well, in like 1991, there were not DVDs or computers to burn things. So you had to go to, like you did, you had to go to a friend's house. Like you needed a friend that had something, cable, VHS tapes.
Tape trader.
Yeah.
But you didn't have a VHS machine either?
Oh, no, no. I had a VHS machine, like, but, like, doesn't mean, but, like.
Did you grow up in an igloo? What
no, no, no.
Happened?
But, like, you couldn't burn a DVD.
Yeah, no. You
I had to, like, a trade movies. Like, I've got this one, you got that one. Friends could tape things off a TV that I couldn't watch.
I didn't have cable for a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I had to walk to friends' houses to watch important, like, Mets and Rangers games growing up.
Right. I had to go watch Monday Night Raw somewhere else.
There's that.
How did you guys survive?
I don't know.
Should we be asking for more credit for that, Pete? Like, are we tough? Tougher than we thought?
We should.
You could really do, like, a when I was a kid to you. I didn't even get a... I couldn't even watch the game.
I had one summer where there was massive flooding in Bayside because of a bad storm, and all of our cable lines were underneath the ground. So our cable and our internet also, none, nothing. So I had no cable or internet for an entire summer, which actually ended up being the best thing that happened to me as a kid because, one, you get out a lot. But, two, I discovered two classic shows, Seinfeld on reruns and That 70s Show. I would not have actually probably seen those shows had I had cable. I would have been watching Nickelodeon or whatever, watching a bunch of baseball games. It was
silver linings.
Yeah. Sometimes no cable is the best way to go.
Let me blow your mind, youngsters. When I first got the internet, it was on the phone line. And if I was on the phone, if on the internet, you couldn't call my house. Yes. You had a busy signal.
Same. That I do remember.
Oh. There's a whole lot of people that was make a call. Thing.
Right.
When I was on nick.com trying to play video games, that's when my mom would be like, get off the internet.
Yeah, well, your fancy friends had the dedicated line just for the internet. That was like the first flex.
That was a rich people house.
We got a second phone line just for AOL. Uh-huh. Look out.
That horrible noise. The horrible fax sounding noise.
Horrible but beautiful at the same time.
Exactly. Especially like when you're waiting for it to go through. Sometimes like you couldn't get the connection, then it did. You're like, yeah.
It's like some kind of digital donkey. Hee-haw. It's terrible. Thank you, Bogish. Coming up, one NFL player not telling the truth. We'll tell you who it is next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Maggie Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, mornings here, Infinity Sports Network. All right, there's been some NFL players who, well, we're not really sure if they're telling the truth. EJ's going to throw one out. We'll tell you, is this person lying or not? Do you believe it? EJ, who's number one?
All right, so let's begin in Las Vegas, where Davante Adams, who keeps trying to tell us how often he wants to be a Las Vegas Raider, was once again asked, does he in fact want to be a Raider or does he want to be traded? This is what he had to say.
I wouldn't say I ever wanted to be gone. If I wanted to be gone, I'd be gone by now. So I wouldn't. I picked to come here. This is where I want to be. And obviously, if you're not winning and things are not going the way you want, you know, you either want to think seasons change to get headed in the right direction, or something else has got to change. So I don't want to go anywhere. I want to be a Raider. So hopefully that answers everyone's question.
Yeah, I appreciate them doing that media availability right when the PA system is coming on
fair?
And announcing good morning, Raider Nation.
We've been there, by the way, where we're trying to do a show with the PA system right over your head. But I believe him. There's nobody more loyal to the Raider Nation than Davante. He's like Ken Stabler, Tim Brown. This guy's love for being in Las Vegas seems unending. It doesn't seem like, how many times have we asked Davante Adams, do you want to leave? And he said no. I think he is truly, truly dedicated to this team. I have no idea why, but he loves it there, it seems like.
Well, I mean, lifestyle, I'm sure, is cool, but living in Las Vegas. But here's the thing. I think this is because this is what we want for Davante Adams.
No, we want him on a contender.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh. We want this to be fake. We want them to be behind the scenes working to get himself out of this and with a better quarterback, with a more stable situation, something that's a little more, you know, I don't know. I have no idea how Antonio Pierce is going to do in his first full season. He might be great. But I think we want Davante Adams on a more established contender so we can watch him play deep into the playoffs. Like, this might be true. We don't want it to be true for him.
Yeah, but to answer the question, I believe him, though. I do feel like he doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to be just dumped at the trade deadline to a contender and be, you know, in the mix of on a great team. Like, what team would it be? Like, say Chiefs.
The Jets get a lot of publicity about this because of Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he wants to be a Jet.
I don't know, but anywhere with also a more competent quarterback situation than the Raiders, Rodgers. Which is Gardner Minshew right now, and a big question mark beyond that.
Yeah, he clearly left Rodgers. So he said, get me out of here.
I think he left Rodgers because he thought Rodgers was retiring and didn't want to be in Green Bay for the rebuild.
I'm not sure about that.
Let's move on. Who else is not telling the truth?
Okay, do you believe this quarterback? How about Jared Goff, who had a lot to say about his time in Detroit?
In hindsight, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me for my career and my development as a human. But, I was shocked. I was you know, confused. You know, all the different emotions of what happened. When did you know, it go sour? How did this all go this way? And so that lasted for quite some time. But then I think very, very soon after, that was the feeling of like opportunity in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Jared Goff.
I believe him. This is 100% believe. Even if you're playing with Sean McVay, you got to a Super Bowl and McVay's like the offensive genius. I mean, he's really feels like he's coming to his own in Detroit. People appreciate him in Detroit. And I 100% believe that this was the best thing that ever happened to him.
Oh, my God. I totally agree with you. It's underrated what a big comeback this guy had. I mean, he was top of the game, Super Bowl, MVP candidate, then just nobody respected. He was Blake Bortles. And now all of a sudden, he is with Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell in Detroit. It is an unbelievable marriage. It's a crazy story. Then there's this backdrop of him complaining about the negativity in Detroit, too, which is weird, but God, there is no happier spot for a quarterback than Jared Goff in Detroit.
And think about it. When you had the stories coming about L.A. when he's with Sean McVay and the Rams, is that, remember, McVay had to read the defense for him in the helmet?
Well,
and it was kind of like Jared Goff like couldn't figure stuff out, and he was much younger in his career. As opposed to Detroit, one of the most aggressive fourth down teams, feels like all the confidence in the world is in the offense and the quarterback. So that's a complete flip-flop, too.
We all know what really happened with Jared Goff and Sean McVay. Goff said something about Sean McVay's girlfriend, I think now wife, on social media. He's gone 2 months later.
He had to get up on out of there.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, Jared Goff can't read the defense. I don't seem that wasn't a problem en route to the Super Bowl. I'm just saying there seemed like it got really personal there. Next.
All right, so let's go to Maggie's Bills, where somebody who I don't know if she's loving too much right now, Von Miller, had a lot to say on social media about the team's future. He posted a meme of Brandon Bean coming out to a concert similar to Lil Yachty with the caption saying that the Bills were going to trade up for a wide receiver. Quote, "In Bean we trust. Bills Mafia. Let's go." Maggie, do you believe it?
Yo, Vaughn, not helping, dude. Not helping. Everyone and their mom knows that the Bills need a wide receiver. Don't need you on social media, you know, basically telling everybody and telegraphing this is what the Bills are going to do. First of all, you have no idea. And secondly, not helping, which is exactly what I would say about Vaughn Miller for the last year and a half. Not helping. Not helping anything or anybody. He has been one of the worst signings that the Bills have had, and that's saying something because they've had some really bad ones.
Okay, but are they going to trade up? That's the question.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if maybe they even try to trade down if they like a wide receiver in the second round to try to get a couple more picks.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, what are they? What's their number? 28 to, say, 6 to get Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison. You don't have to trade that much if it's not for a quarterback. So the Falcons, when they did this for Julio Jones, gave a first round that year along with their second and fourth round picks the following year and first and fourth round picks in the next draft. So two firsts to go from 28 to 6 to get Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Oh, no. This is a franchise who once gave up two firsts to go up for Sammy Watkins. So I've seen some pretty bad ideas, but that was a different regime.
Can you imagine Marvin? If you could get Marvin Harrison, I could give you Marvin Harrison, Maggie. You would not go to extreme lengths to do this?
I actually think it's more about Josh than it is and the receiver and the right person for him. And Marvin Harrison would be great, but they can't do this kind of thing. They can't be forfeiting future draft capital, I don't think. To get up that high, I don't think so. So, yeah, Vaughn. Not a fan right now.
I didn't think so. Last one real quickly. Brandon Ayuk's agent denied rumors that he wanted to be traded and that he requested a trade from the 49ers. Do you guys buy that?
I actually don't buy that because Brandon Ayuk is rightfully pointing out that there was no real report from anyone reputable that he demanded a trade. But you tell me he doesn't want to get out of there? Of course he does.
I would not want to get out of there. I just want to get paid and stay. I don't know why I'd want to leave. Everyone loves Brock Purdy. You love the 49ers. You've had success. You're knocking on the door.
I think he's mad because they're not going to pay him.
I know, but maybe you can get something worked out here because they're not just going to let him go for nothing.
Yeah, but the normal wide receiver way is to leave. That's what they do.
Well, Deebo Samuel did a hold in and he got paid.
Yeah, but you can't pay him both, I don't think. I think Ayuk really is going to be quite unhappy this year.
That's it for us. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Pete Bilotti, Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers. You guys have been awesome. Again, if you want to find us, the Infinity Sports Network is where we're at. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. We will see you tomorrow.
We are the New York Knicks.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.